This morning, would you turn with me to the Epistle to Ephesians? In fifth chapter, if you will, and I want to go to the key verse, and then I'll backtrack a bit, but I want to start with the key verse, verse 18. Fifth chapter, Ephesians, verse 18. It says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And that's what's resonating in my soul this morning, be filled with the Spirit. And that's the theme of this message this morning, be filled with the Spirit. We read, well, let me comment, the reference to wine is not about drunkenness necessarily. That's a part of it, but it's the effect that wine has, the alcohol has on the body. We act a certain way. Some people get, you know, real giddy and happy, and some get mean and despondent, and some get silent. Everyone has a different reaction to it. It controls, just as the Holy Spirit makes us act a certain way. The Holy Spirit, when He is within us, causes us to behave in a certain way, praise God. And this being filled with the Spirit here is, you know, we use the reference when someone was baptized with the Holy Ghost, well, they got filled with the Spirit. That's true. But this filling here in the Greek, it goes beyond that. It's a repeatedly being filled. Repeatedly being filled. Like the river, it's the river of God that flows through us. The metaphors we find in the Word of God talks about the Holy Spirit as the river, as the rain, as the fire. And you notice they're not stationary, stagnant things. They're moving in various, you know, forms. And praise God, the river is constantly flowing. And that's how the Holy Spirit, encouragement here in the Word of God is let the river of God flow. Be filled with the Spirit. Let Him continually flow through you. Praise God. Never referred to as a pond, something stationary, but something moving like the fire that burns. It's the Holy Spirit just burns away all the dross that's in our souls, praise God. So here he's talking about being filled with a constant experience, a constant renewal. In Romans, he talks about being not conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is the implication of that? What does that mean to us? It's not just by educating ourselves, but it's by the Holy Spirit renewing our mind. The Holy Spirit that is flowing through us, the Holy Spirit that is alive, begins to give us intuitions and understandings and revelations and causes us to behave in a certain way. Renewing the mind constantly, not conform to this world. It's easy to be conformed. If we allow the Spirit of God to become cool or the quench or the Spirit to a degree, we get conformed to this world. We inadvertently, it happens. We get comfortable with the things of this life, but the Holy Spirit, He wants to renew our mind and transform us into that image of Christ. Praise God. I want to go back the fourth and fifth verses. I'm not going to read them, but it talks about in these two verses that the immoral are not going to be in God's kingdom, and you can read them for yourself. It's the immoral that are not going to be in God's kingdom, but in verse 6 of this fifth chapter, it said, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. There are many false doctrines. There are many appealing teachers out there that in the world that you know, teach certain things and have certain beliefs, and they could affect you. Our young people in college especially, we see what's happened over the last 30 years. There's been an influx of liberal teachers in these colleges that have caused these young people to behave in a certain way that is just unseemly. But praise God, the Lord helps us. Praise God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. That's why we need the filling of the Holy Spirit to give us understanding and intuitions and revelations, praise God, and discernment. What is true and what is not true, to apply it to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit raises the red flag and says, wait a minute, hold on, you're getting awry here. That's not right. That's something doesn't agree, praise God. And when the Holy Spirit resides in us, immediately He's the truth teller. And when we hear something, right away the Holy Spirit raises a red flag if it's not true, if it's something contrary to the Word of God, or if it's something that's dangerous to our spiritual condition, praise God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. There are many eloquent speakers out there, eloquent preachers, not preaching the whole truth, not preaching the reality, the realness of the Holy Spirit, and what it means to walk in the Spirit, and what it means to serve God. It's we mix a little bit of the world, we get acceptable with the world, and we mix in the gospel, and we put it all together, and it's appealing. No, that's wrong. That's going to lead you in the wrong direction. That's going to take you down a path that's going to be destruction, my brother. It's following the truth of God, and it's not popular. We sing the song, "Though none go with me, yet I will follow." Are you ready to make that commitment this morning? Though none go with me, yet I will follow. Wife, husband, children, grandchildren, I'm going. I got a path. I'm headed for glory. Praise God. I want you to go with me, but I'm not going to be deterred. If you decide to take another way, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to weep for you. I'm going to fast for you. I'm going to cry unto God, but I'm going to keep going forward. Praise God. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. Though none go with me, yet I will follow. Let no man deceive you. Be not ye therefore partakers, verse 7, with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Oh, praise God. Oh, Lord, help us. We were in that darkness at one time. I don't care if you were born in the church. We did things that were not right. We failed the Lord. We sinned. And if we were out of the church, we probably did it even more. But praise God, we're no longer in the darkness. We've been brought into the marvelous light, praise God. And the Holy Spirit illumines our mind. The Holy Spirit causes us to walk in the ways that are righteous before God. Praise the Lord. He says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Your walk, your behavior proves what is acceptable unto the Lord. As the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit leads you in a direct path to glory. Praise God. The Holy Spirit leads you in the righteous path. The Holy Spirit guides your steps. Praise God. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I think this is one of the greatest dangers that we as Christians face today. Have no fellowship, praise God, with the unfruitful works of darkness. Well, I have these friends. No, they don't go to church, but they're really nice. They're nice people. They're really, you know, upstanding and whatever and whatever. And in the book of Amos, we find, can two walk together except they be agreed? The fundamental beliefs of your life. If they don't agree with you, I don't know how you can call them friends. They don't have that same desire to serve Jesus Christ and follow Him. Well, they go to a church. Well, whatever, you know, what does that mean? I don't know what that means. Do they believe in the truth? Do they believe in the Word of God? Do they accept the teachings? How can two walk together except they agree? I had many friends in high school and some in college, not so much in college. We were in the engineering group, and we were kind of, I don't know, by ourselves out there somehow. I didn't seem to have a lot of interaction. Folks at work that I worked with for a long time, and I call them friendships, but they fell by the wayside because we didn't have things in common. We didn't have fellowship, koinonia, that's what the word is in the Greek. We didn't have the fellowship because we didn't have the same mind. We, good friends, the work was the attraction, or work was the common denominator, or going to school in the same classes, you know. But once that passed, there was no relationship that sustained. And it's not like, you know, I didn't want to be with them. It just, the Holy Spirit draws you away. You don't feel, you can't feel comfortable in that situation because a four-letter word's going to slip here and there, and a dirty joke is going to be told, or some comment's going to be made, or we're going here and going there. Why don't you go with us? And it doesn't fit. It doesn't connect. And you find yourself just being drawn away. Praise God. Oh Lord, help us. Help us this morning. We go back to that scripture. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. You know, in Corinthians, Paul writes to this church, and he says some pretty strong things. He says, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? That's a by name for Satan. And what part hath he that believed with an infidel, an unbeliever? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Be not unequally yoked in partnerships, in dating, in marriage, in close friendships. That's the word of God. It's the word of God. Someone asked me just the other day, how do you guide and instruct your children to pick a godly mate? How does that happen? And the first thing to me is, my answer was, well, you got to be filled with the Spirit. Young people, what you need is you need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you, and the Holy Spirit, because there's a lot of dating helps out there, and do this and do that, and that's all fine, but the Lord is the one who sees above all, praise God. He's the one that moves the checkers in place. He's the one that will provide the perfect mate for you. He's the one that will guide you to the right one to marry, praise God, if you allow him, if you allow the Spirit of God to do that. That's why he says here, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, be filled with the Spirit, praise God. You need the Holy Spirit. Mothers and fathers, you need the Holy Spirit. You need to instruct your children. You need to lead them and guide them. You need to be the example so they can follow your course. I want to be like them, praise God. It's a beautiful thing to have spiritual mothers and fathers. I thank God for my mother and father that were spiritual people. I'm not lifting them up. They had their faults like everyone else, but they were spiritual people. They loved the Lord. And I say, Lord, help me to be the spiritual father, the grandfather, the great-grandfather someday. Help me, Lord, to be that person. Be filled with the Spirit. How do I find somebody out there? How do I marry somebody that's going to love the Lord like me? That's going to want to come to church three times a week. That's going to want to be in the Bible study, in the prayer meeting. How am I going to find someone like that? Because that doesn't exist out there anymore. Oh, yes. There's someone out there. There's someone out there for you, praise God. And God will direct them, praise God. He will bring them into your presence somehow. Oh, praise the Lord. A Christian, our association with unbelievers should only be as is necessary for social or economic existence, or to show the unbelievers the way of salvation. You know, in the Old Testament, it talks about the ceremonial cleansing, about being clean and unclean. There's many scriptures that talk about that, and there was ceremonies for, you know, don't touch dead animals or don't touch dead bodies and all kind of things. But there's a spiritual implication of that. And the implication is, if the clean touches the unclean, or the righteous touches the unrighteous, the righteous or the clean doesn't convert the unrighteous or the unclean. Just the reverse. Just the reverse. The unclean contaminates the clean. The unrighteous contaminates the righteous. And we have to be careful. Lord, help me. Help me to, Lord, be righteous. Come out from among them. Be separate. The Holy Spirit says, a holy nation. What is a holy nation? A separate nation called out, dedicated unto God. A holy nation. It doesn't mean I can't have friends. No, it doesn't mean that. It's not what the Word of God is talking about. Bring your friends to church. If they're truly your friends, they'll come. Maybe God's using you for the kingdom. Maybe God's using you as a witness to bring them in. Say, why don't you join? Why don't you come to church one time? Why don't you try it out? What do you got to lose? Maybe a couple hours. If you don't like it, you don't have to come again. That's all right. Otherwise, you have nothing. If you don't have God, what do you have? What do you have? What, if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, what do you have in your life? Well, it's, I don't know, my own thoughts, my own ideas. I have my career and my skills and my accomplishments, and what all that leaves is a big hole, a big zero. That's nothing. Because in the grand scheme of things, in the long-term look, it's our relationship with Jesus Christ that counts. Someday we're going to be called into glory. Someday, praise God, Jesus is going to call my name. Someday, praise God, it's going to happen, brother. We're finite. We're not going to be here forever. I'm not preaching negative. I'm not preaching death and destruction. No, I'm telling you, this is reality. We got to embrace the whole thing. A lot of folks want to, oh, just tell me the good. Just tell me the good stuff. I just want to hear the good stuff. What's all the glory? No, there's more to it than that. You're going to be held accountable for what you did and the choices you made. And the righteous God is going to stand, not Brother Ron, not Brother Mel, or Brother Steve, or any one of us up here. No, it's the Word is going to judge you. That's what the Bible says. The Word is going to judge you. Remember that part you didn't want to listen to? That part that says, you know, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together? That's going to judge you. Speak not evil one of another? That's going to judge you. Live righteous and holy, that's going to judge you. Oh, Lord, help us. Be not partakers with them. Oh, praise the Lord. Be filled with the Spirit, he says in Ephesians in the earlier chapter, he says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And we see the trend in the religious community. I won't name the churches, but several years ago, this one church on McKenzie. Oh, everybody was running. Oh, man, they got it going on. Let's go. And then they moved and got bigger. And everybody went there. And then I don't know what happened. Something happened. Oh, I think it was the holy laughter thing that came in. Turned a lot of people off. Lost a lot of congregation. Ended up switching churches with another up-and-comer. Another trend. Another new church that was on fire. And you know the commonality as I watch these trends continue is it all appealed to the flesh. It was all entertainment. It was all about making the caressing the flesh and having every kind of activity and everything to caress the flesh. We don't talk about sin. We don't, oh, God's not even mad at you. Hear that comment. No, we don't talk about sin. That turns people off. We want them to come back and we want them to give. And we want to expand and grow, and there's nothing wrong with those intentions, but preach the word. Let God do the growing. Brother Steve, I believe it was in the class this morning, plant the seed. God will do the watering. Amen? And that's the truth. We plant the seed. Lord, help us. Praise God. Let me go back to Ephesians. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Oh, praise God. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Paul, if this was true 2,000 years ago, how much more, if you were to come back today and see what is going on in these United States, you would be astounded. You would say, I didn't begin to half describe what was going to happen. Praise God. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. The enemy is turned loose, has warped the minds, taking them to different things that you know, this all the things that are going on. I don't want to get in all that stuff, but you understand what's around us. How do we protect our children? How do we lead them in the right path? What's the key? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. You parents, be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you understanding and direction and guidance in how to lead your children. You'll be the example. That doesn't guarantee they'll be saved, but praise God, it is your responsibility to lead them and guide them and let the Lord do the work. I'd like to sequester them. I'd like to just keep them under wraps and away from the world. You see, we have this sin nature within us. There was a famous French writer that had a theory that if I could just, he put these children or young people on an island and keep them sequestered from the world, he said they would turn out good. And you know what happened? They didn't turn out good. Because they had the germ of sin in their DNA. And the only one who can eradicate that sin, who could wash it away, is Jesus Christ. Praise his name. Oh, glory to God. Walk circumspectly, carefully, not as fools, but as wise. What are your ambitions for your family? What is your guidance for your family? What do you desire for your family? Health, wealth, recognition. What do you desire for your family? No, I want them to be lovers of Jesus Christ. I want them to have a personal relationship. Yeah, I want them. They're going to provide for their families and all that stuff, but that's not the important part. The important part is their spiritual relationship with Jesus. Amen. When it's all said and done, when it's all stripped away and they lay you in the grave, the only thing that counted, The only thing that counted is your relationship with Jesus. Some of the eulogies I've heard in other places and different people, and oh, just glory. I mean, just beautiful expressions of their lives. They accomplished this and accomplished that, and some of the political leaders, and they were this and they were that, and they did all this and did all that, and that's all great. But they were sinners, and they died sinners. So what does it all mean? This earth is going to burn up, and everything that was accomplished is going to be worthless. The only thing is our relationship with Christ. Are we born again, Spirit-filled, walking in the Spirit, believer? Oh, brother, I'm tired of hearing that message. I'm sorry, that's the only one I got. There's no other one. There's no other way, praise God. Someday you're going to be held accountable. And we don't serve God because we're afraid of that. No, that's not the, I don't want to give that connotation. It's because of the peace and joy we feel with serving Him here, praise God. When we have that relationship with Him, the peace that passes all understanding, when you're going through the trial and your legs are weak and you're about to buckle under, the Holy Spirit comes alongside and holds you up, and God speaks a word of peace and a word of encouragement, and somehow you made it through. When the rivers overflow you, I'll not let you get drowned. The fire won't burn you because I am by your side. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. When the doctor says there's no hope, you've got this incurable disease, there is hope in Christ. And we know the end of this life, that's not the end. Oh, that's a cop-out. You say that to it's not a cop-out. It's reality. We got the idea that this life is the reality, and it is to a degree, but the reality, the real reality, I don't even know if that's a proper phrase, is over on the other side. Amen. Eternity. Paul writes, eye hath not seen, nor entered into the mind of man, the glories that shall be revealed. Oh, halamahashandiahaya. Oh, the glory that's going to be revealed on the other side. My brother and sister, we haven't even begun to see the glory of God. And we've seen some beautiful things. Praise the Lord. Let me go and conclude here. Redeeming the time. Make use of the time. Don't waste it. Don't fritter it away. Don't be busy about a lot of things that mean nothing. Well, I'm building my career. I'm working hard, 80 hours a week. That's fine. Don't lose sight of the Lord. You can work 80 hours a week and not lose sight of the Lord. Go ahead and do it. But don't lose sight of the Lord. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Here is profound words. What is God's will? What is God's will for you? To be an astronaut? To be a CEO of a big company? Have a big family? What's God's will? What's God's will for you? You know how we find that out? It's every day being filled, flowing through the Spirit. Praise God. I love what the psalmist says. I love that expression. It's so beautiful and so poetic. He says, there is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place, of the holy tabernacles of the Most High. Oh, that city is you and I, brother. That city is right here. Oh, the river that flows through us. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And be not drunk with wine wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody into your heart to the Lord. You know, it tells me that Christians ought to be a singing people. And I'm not going to castigate anyone for not singing. You know who you are. But singing and making melody. The psalmist was a great worship leader. Those are all songs. We think of psalm, well, that's just script. No, those were songs. I don't know what kind of music they had, but those were songs. Singing and making melody. It's a way of expressing the joy that's in your soul. If you got joy, it wants to come out. Have you seen somebody that's joyful, that isn't exuberant, isn't gushing, isn't, you know? When they score a touchdown, your team scores a touchdown. Hey, jumping up and down, and oh, yeah, wow, you know, yeah, well, we won. It's a natural reaction. God uses our emotions, singing and making melody unto the Lord. Oh, praise God. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm going to stop right here. Brother, sister, would you come forward? Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. It is such a beautiful experience. It helps us to tap in to the reality of the spirit world, to know the joy that is just possible, just a glimpse, just a little bit. Paul says we see through a glass darkly. Just now, we don't have full vision spiritually. Not till we get to the other side. We're going to see him as he is, praise God. He just gives us glimpses into the spirit world, the glory that's there, praise God. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the mind of man. Oh, what's going to be revealed? Oh, Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Let your Spirit continually flow through us. Help us not to quench the Spirit, to put it out. It's like a fire that burns. Lord, help us. Help us not to grieve the Spirit, to make him sad. Because the Spirit is around you. Well, I'm not baptized yet. That's okay. The Spirit is around you. You come into the house of God, you come into the presence of God, the Spirit is here and he's around you and he's following you all day. He knows where you're going and what you're doing, what you're reading, what you're seeing, what you're saying. He knows it all. And what's his desire? His desire is to transform you into the image of Christ. We sang, "And I am changed in the presence of a holy God." How does it happen? How am I changed? Through education, through studying, through doing penance. I'm changed in the presence of a holy God. Get in the presence of a holy God. You want to be changed? Get in the presence of a holy God. Lord, take away the things that are detrimental to my spiritual walk. I want to be in your presence. There's nothing like it. Oh, glory to God. Someday, the trump is going to sound. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And we which are alive are going to be caught up together in the air. Do you believe that this morning? I believe that with all. I believe it's close, too. I really do. I believe it's close. Some young people, "Well, Brother Ron, I want to get married. I want to have kids. And That's all fine. You keep having those dreams and those thoughts, but keep your eyes on the eastern sky. Amen. Jesus is ready to come back. Praise God. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. May the Lord encourage you this morning. May He help us and strengthen us. Amen. Do we have a song?